Well, we have a problem. So there's an imbalance that must be corrected. There's an order that must be restored. We're a nation of laws, and the laws must be evenly applied. So a part of my resume is I'm an attorney. I understand the law. I get the legal concepts of precedent and burden of proof and burden shifting. I respect the rules of evidence and the rules of procedure. I appreciate decorum and formality. And when the judge takes the bench, I come to my feet, address them as judge or your honor, even when I may otherwise know them on a first name basis. I also appreciate the fact that the law has nuances which sometimes require judicial discretion, even judicial interpretation. In a case of first impression, that a judge must study and reflect and opine, but always within the confines of the law. And to do that correctly, to avoid being what the law calls plainly and palpably wrong, or to avoid what is also referred to as an abuse of discretion, a judge must oversee every case being figuratively blindfolded. Look, in the 60-year span from 1963 to 2023, there were only 127 nationwide injunctions issued by federal district courts. A disturbing fact emerges when you realize that more than half of those were issued against the Trump administration's actions during his first term. Half in a 50-year span. Another 17 nationwide injunctions against Trump policies have issued in the first 100 days of his second term. So in all, President Trump has seen more nationwide judicial halts to his work in a little over 4 years of presidential service than Presidents Bush, Obama, and Biden combined in their respective cumulative 20 years in the Oval Office. I saw one pundit who claims that upwards of 92% of those injunctions against Trump all came from Democrat-appointed judges. Were all the judges on the side of justice? Now, having said all that, let me just go full-on cowboy on you. There's a few movies that are my bona fide Achilles heel. When I'm flipping channels on the TV, there's an overarching compulsion to have to stop and watch a few minutes of certain movies. One of those kryptonite classics, if you will, is Tombstone. Any man, by the way, who says they don't like Tombstone, I'm questioning their manhood. But look, there's several great scenes in Tombstone, but let me key in on one in particular. You may have seen it. A member of the Cowboys gang, the Notorious Outlaws. His name was Curly Bill, and he up and murdered the beloved town marshal. Wyatt Earp heard the shots. He came out the street. He pistol-whipped Curly Bill and had him by the scruff of the neck. But the townsfolk, they began to gather up, and they called for a lynching. Earp's response was to tell the crowd, "Nobody's hanging anybody. He'll stand for trial for what he's done." So think about it. Was Wyatt Earp taking the side of the criminal? Now, Curly Bill's gang showed up then, the Cowboys, and they demanded that Wyatt let him go. One of the Cowboys find himself staring down the business end of a Colt Peacemaker with Earp saying to him, "Your boys might get me in a rush, but not before I make your head into a canoe." So the next question is, was Wyatt Earp taking the side of the people? So Wyatt Earp stopped the bad guy, then he saved the bad guy, then he denied the townsfolk their vengeance, but then he denied the Cowboys their attempt to subvert the legal system. Bottom line, Wyatt Earp's position was to take the side of actual justice, not one side or the other, just the even enforcement and application of the law. He was the man in the middle. He was the arbiter of emotions, evidence, and legal standing. In that one scene, Wyatt Earp's character in the movie Tombstone was like the cowboy version of the blindfolded justice. You see, justice is a matter of fact. Justice is even tempered. Justice is based in both law and fact. Justice is actually required. It's a duty of those who wear the black robes to apply, enforce, and determine what is legally and naturally right. Justice is also the even-keeled protection of rights and the stability that comes from law and order, regardless of whether they're enacted on the part of the accused or the accuser, the perpetrator or the victim. You see, justice upholds the black letter law. It protects the weak. It defends the right way of doing things. It establishes order in the communities. It maintains civility. It upholds proper authority. Justice will care for the aggrieved while ensuring that both the passions and compassions remain tempered and manageable. So go back to that Wyatt Earp, example that I had a moment ago. What if Wyatt Earp had just joined in with the crowd and said, "Yeah, get a rope"? His character was angry. His character loved the old marshal who'd just been killed. But how would you have felt about his character then? On the other hand, what if Earp had just holstered his pistol and stepped aside when the Cowboys demanded he release Curly Bill? They were the bullies. Everybody feared him. Earp could have just let it be. How would you have felt about his character then? Right now, in venues all over this nation, we're seeing an epidemic of injustice. The uneven application of the law is not to be confused with simply losing on an issue, right? The public trust in the judiciary is actually being eroded right now unnecessarily by judges who clearly reflect a bias towards Trump's policies. Any judge isn't going to be a person first. They are. Any judge. Any judge is a person first. They have personal thoughts and desires. They have First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and expression, but they are not allowed to bring their personal agendas into the courtroom. Any judge who cannot set aside their personal predilections, their predispositions, their predetermined notions, they have a duty to recuse from the case. The application of law is really a sacred thing. We're a nation of laws. It sets us apart from much of world history. We're not to allow the whims and the prejudices and the agendas or the biases to enter into the prosecution of our citizens or the rulings that are made about policy. But in our polarized society, we appear to be reaching and watching a level of judicial objectivity being thrown out the window by judicial activists content to strip the blindfold right off of Lady Justice. Well, in a nation of laws, though, there's no room for courtroom activists. Lawyers come and go. We do. But the bench bears a higher burden of responsibility. Anything less than being dispassionate is wrong. We need more constitutionally grounded, fair-minded, objective, and dispassionate men and women in these positions of such esteem and import. Because y'all, I'm going to tell you, we need them because it's a battle. And too often right now, the battle is not so much about the merits of the cases. The merits of the cases in our courtrooms. The battle sometimes is more about the abuses of the justice system taking place in our courtrooms and about our courtrooms. There have been numerous attacks on the rule of law, the use of law, the judiciary itself, mostly by the left. And before I go much further, I need to call out the hypocrisy of the left, by the way, in the recent debate over judges making rulings. You see, we're currently seeing debate about the far-reaching, perhaps overreaching rulings that pretend to enjoin the Trump administration on a nationwide basis again and again and again. Federal district court judges have been issuing injunctions against everything from economic policy, DOGE efforts, immigration, deportation, military policy, hiring and firing. The list goes on and on. And the left is using the courts to their advantage and then railing against Trump's team for daring to ever question it. But the hypocrisy, y'all, the hypocrisy of the left is a lot deeper than their arguments. It wasn't so long ago the Supreme Court of the United States suffered a left-wing leak about the pending Roe v. Wade decision. Remember that? Protesters marched on the Supreme Court justices' homes in an attempt to try and intimidate them. One individual was actually arrested for plotting to murder Justice Brett Kavanaugh. But the left is now screaming because Trump has dared to appeal these overreaching judicial orders. Like I said, weirdness and hypocrisy. Let's also not forget, by the way, when the President of the United States, Donald Trump, was indicted by an activist state district attorney on supposed federal campaign finance documentation violations. Right. Violations that had already been dismissed by the DOJ and the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. That same state-level DA, Alvin Bragg, backed by George Soros, had a stated policy of not prosecuting crime, and yet he had publicly stated his bias and dislike of Trump and even campaigned on the idea of "Get Trump!" But hey, nothing to see here. Just a good guy sticking it to the bad guy because, you know, no one's above the law, the left said. And the judge let it happen. The judge just let it happen. Never mind that the judge appeared to have his own biases. These are weird times indeed. Meanwhile, there were no charges pressed against, oh, I don't know, let's pick one, Hillary Clinton paying to have the Steele dossier prepared and disseminated to benefit her campaign. Or Joe Biden having the assistance of the media shutting down the Hunter Biden laptop story during his campaign. It's no wonder by anyone as to why conservatives feel like we're looking at a two-tiered system of justice. But yet those activist DAs have now taken a back seat in the headlines to the activist judges in the federal district courts. Now, having said that, let me clarify something. Like I said earlier, I know as an attorney that a ruling that comes out that's contrary to what my position for my client would be does not make the judge an activist. I get it. Sometimes you get the ruling you don't want. I'm a firm believer in the sanctity of the rule of law, and so are the vast majority of the men and women who actually wear the black robes of a judge. The idea that everything in a courtroom has to go the way I want it to is not realistic, and I get that. But where we have a problem today is judges who take the bench with an obvious bias and then rule first on bias and second on law. And we've seen that of late. We have. We've seen judges who have ruled against Trump policies who already have a personal prior history of activism on the same ideological issues they're ruling on. And those judges should have recused. They should have. A judge has a duty to recuse from that which they cannot be objective about, whether it be a personal conflict or a professional conflict or a prior relationship, whatever. When they don't, all that does is disenfranchise the average American from being able to trust the legal system. And then come the calls to impeach or, you know, to reform or the calls to dox the judges. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, don't go down that road. We are not the left. Those are their tactics. Don't let them be ours. Those ideas are not grounded in good order and discipline. In the absence of an illegal, immoral, or unethical conduct which is proven in accordance with the canons of judicial ethics, we're stuck with having to use the actual system to appeal the rulings. And we will, and the Trump administration has been doing just that. There's no laying down on it. There's no acquiescence, if you will. The Trump team is using every means available to fight back against judicial rulings, some of which were absolutely wrong and some of which were just purely activist. But let me talk about some examples. I'm kind of talking generically, but let's just bring it home. Let's name names. You ready? How about this? For instance, take federal judge Anna Reyes. Reyes is an activist extraordinaire. She's on record, by the way, as having stated that the idea of only being two sexes is not biologically correct. Really? The judge said that, yes. She's openly gay herself. She served on the board of organizations that promote abortion, even calling abortion a necessity. She was a panelist on a microaggressions panel a few years ago at a conference in which also DEI was one of the prime focuses. Reyes herself gave over $38,000 personally to Democrat candidates and causes, including an organization that openly battles Trump by giving money to anyone who has suffered from his mean tweets. Judge Reyes previously served as an activist attorney, assisting illegal alien asylum seekers to stay in the U.S. Now, knowing all that, you have to wonder, how is it then that Judge Reyes did not feel the need to recuse herself when the case came before her to decide whether or not the Trump administration can bar transgenders from military service? She's obviously biased on the issue and against the president. But she's now being appealed after issuing a nationwide injunction against the Trump admin's efforts to bar transgenders from the military. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, he said she ought to come down to Fort Benning and work with the Ranger Regiment since she knows so much about military strategy. All right, that's Reyes. How about Federal District Court Judge Boasberg? Oh, you've heard of Boasberg, who has famously attempted to shut down the Trump administration's efforts to deport illegal alien criminal gang members using the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. His injunction was finally lifted, and the Trump administration was able to once again begin moving forward with packing up Trinidad Aragua and MS-13 gang members and shipping them off to El Salvador's Cicot prison using that 1798 Alien Enemies Act. But the Supreme Court did not rule on the broader question of the applicability of the Alien Enemies Act. They just ruled that deportees needed due process. Okay. So they kind of left it open, and then we had another federal judge in Texas step in. District Judge Fernando Rodriguez has now blocked the Trump administration's efforts to deport alien enemies, saying it exceeded the scope of the statute. If you look at Boasberg's life outside the bench, I think you may find there was adequate grounds for him to potentially recuse, especially given some of the comments he made in the courtroom. Attorney General Pam Bondi called out activist judges recently. She said, Federal District Court judges should not have the jurisdiction to seize control of President Trump's authority to conduct foreign policy and keep the American people safe. She also added, the Department of Justice will continue fighting in court to make America safe again. Well, the list goes on and on. You got Judge Indira Talwani. She said Trump could not end President Joe Biden's parole program that let 500,000 migrants come in from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela into the country. You got Judge John Woodcock Jr., who said that the Department of Agriculture could not freeze funding to the state of Maine over the decision to let boys play in girls' sports. You got Judge Edward Chin, who said the Department of Homeland Security could not revoke the protected status of 348,202 Venezuelans who had been shielded from deportation by Biden. You got Judge Stephanie Gallagher, who said the Trump administration had to facilitate the return of a suspected gang member from El Salvador. You got Judge William H. Orrick, who said that Trump could not pull funding from sanctuary cities that defy immigration law. Judge Royce Lamberth, who said the Trump administration was not allowed to move male prisoners who identify as women out of female prisons. You got Judge Benjamin Settle, and I also mentioned Anna Reyes, who are now fighting back against the Trump administration's ban on transgenders in the military. Listen, it goes on and on. I got Judge Paula Zenas, who said that Trump must return suspected MS-13 member Kilmar Abrego Garcia to the United States. And then you got Judge Colleen Collar. Actually, she's Judge Colleen Collar-Cotelli, who said that Trump could not implement an executive order requiring voters to show documentation proving their citizenship to be able to vote in federal elections. Really? And then you got Judge Amir Ali, who said the Trump administration could not put a blanket pause on foreign aid funding. Just, you know, everything from deportation to the hirings and the firings and whether or not you can spend money here or give money there and bring these people back. And it's Solicitor General of the United States, Sarah Harris, wrote in a brief, she said, this is no way to run a government. She said, this court should stop the ongoing assault on the constitutional structure before further damage is wrought. Think about it. The checks and balances of the three branches of government, that's real. I get it, and I like it. It's supposed to be that way. This is not checks and balances. This is obstruction. Much of what we're seeing, in my opinion, is activism. And I'm an attorney. And as an attorney, I believe strongly that my job is to zealously pursue and defend my clients' interests, but I also know that sometimes I have to advise my clients that what they feel is not the same as what they can sue for. This is why lawyers are sometimes referred to as counselors, because we're actually giving counsel, both good and bad. But I should also say that I take pride in my profession. As an officer of the court, I was sworn in having already provided all the information necessary for background checks and fingerprinting and all of it. I'm sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution. I'm also sworn to maintain my license by taking annual continuing legal education, which includes ethics training. And I'm not alone. It's the same for anybody who practices law. And maybe I'm just a regular old lawyer, not the district attorney of Manhattan with George Soros funding or a federal district court judge with years of rulings. But I really do believe that all of us in the profession of law are to be held to the same type of rigorous standards and rules of conduct. The even, unbiased application of the law is still supposed to be the rule. And sometimes it's not just the client that needs to hear things they don't want to hear. Sometimes a lawyer needs to be told things that go contrary to their notions. Or maybe it's the judge who needs to step back, objectively look at a case or a prosecution, and make sure that they don't have their own grievances, their own emotions, their own politics and prejudices all wrapped up in it. Because yeah, the rule of law is sacred. It's what keeps our nation from becoming Lord of the Flies. And it only works if it's unbiased and even in its application. You can't have activist judges. That's my philosophy.